We're continuing the Shir in Shivchei Aran, paragraph Chof Aleph, 21. Rav Nosson Zal tells us that regarding Taiva Sachila, the physical desire for food, Rabbeinu Zal also had a major battle to overcome this incredible, difficult struggle before he was able to eliminate completely the physical desire for food. And Rabbeinu Zal said that in the beginning, he didn't consider it at all. It wasn't on his radar. He was focusing on other things that he felt were much more critical to address first. Then afterwards, when he decided that he wanted to overcome this taiva, it was extremely difficult for him, to the point where it appeared to him he can overcome all other desires except for this one. It seemed to him as if this is something he's just going to have to live with. There's no way in the world he can overcome it. And yet, despite that, he strengthened himself and he succeeded also in overcoming this completely. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, the level of holiness and precious, how Rabbeinu Zal was able to abstain from the pleasures of food, was something that was known and obvious to those who were close to him. Rav Nosson Zal says, he hardly ate, period. And the little bit that he did eat was with tremendous struggle. You could tell that it was a major struggle for him to eat. And he had to force himself with every iota of effort in order to be able to eat a little bit in order to live physically, to keep himself physically alive. And Rabbeinu Zal said that in the beginning, when he started working on this, and he would fight to train himself to eat less than what he was eating before, that was how he began. And when he got used to eating a smaller amount, he felt that still there was some element, some aspect of taiva, of desire to it, and decided to cut down further, to eat less than that. And then he saw that even in that little bit, there was still a little bit of physical desire, and went further down and further down until he was eating the barest minimum that he needed to exist. Then it seemed to him that even in that little bit, there's still some taiva. And he fought harder and harder to overcome the physical desire until he eliminated it completely, to the point where there was no physical desire, nothing gashmius at all about his eating whatsoever. Rav Nosson Zal writes that while this was going on, while he was training himself to abstain to such a level, he got to a point where it was almost impossible for him to eat. And Rabbeinu Zal said, but afterwards, when he was completely successful, he had the ability to eat with holiness, without any taiva, to the point that no matter how much he would be eating, even if he'd be eating a large quantity, it wouldn't harm him in any way on a level of taiva. He couldn't do it because his stomach was shrunken, because he had trained himself to exist on the barest minimum. Then Rabbeinu Zal said that during his journey to Eretz Yisrael, which we're going to learn about in one of these subsequent shiurim, he saw that he didn't have any energy, any strength. In those days, they traveled by boat on sea, and the boats weren't the modern boats that we know of today. Taking a trip at sea for a few weeks was something that was very, very difficult for the body, for a healthy person, for a person who was very powerful and strong. So when Rabbeinu Zal saw that he didn't have any chiyus at all from anything else, he forced himself to eat a little bit. And he said from that time on, he got used to eating a little bit, you know, a little bit more than what he had gotten down to before. Whereas till that point, even it was down to the barest minimum. But Rav Nosson Zal writes, still we saw that even after the trip to Eretz Yisrael, he was down to eating very, very little compared to what people know is considered eating. And Rav Nosson Zal just puts in a little note that regarding the trip to Eretz Yisrael that Rabbeinu Zal undertook, there's a lot to tell about it, the incredible suffering and difficulty that he endured during the trip and when he came on the way back, And he writes that this is all will all be discussed in a few pages from now. A little bit further, he's going to give us a little bit of a synopsis of what Rabbeinu Zal went through on that trip. Paragraph Chof Beis. Now, Rav Nosson Zal, this was, till now, he was talking about Taivos Rois, desires. Now, Rabbeinu Zal addresses the issue of Midos, character traits. And Rav Nosson Zal says, regarding overcoming all evil or negative character traits, Rabbeinu Zal was extraordinary, exceptional in the level of success that he achieved there. He told us a little bit about what he went through in trying to overcome kas, anger, losing one's temper, losing control. And Rabbeinu Zal said that in the beginning, he was very, very much into kas. He was able to get very angry, very easily, very quickly. And then afterwards, when he realized that he wanted to be religious and he wanted to train himself to be the way Hashem wants a person to be, he started working on breaking this midah of kas to the point where he succeeded. However, the complete success in overcoming kas, meaning to be able to turn himself around completely, of not just not getting angry when somebody says something or does something to antagonize him, to hurt him, but rather to have the ability to be just wall-to-wall goodness, to a point where nothing in the world can get him angry, can get him upset in any way. That he achieved only when he got to Eretz Yisrael. There, he succeeded in eliminating kas completely, completely, and got to a level of being all good, just wall-to-wall goodness with zero iota of kpeda, meaning that there was nothing in the world that could get him angry, upset, nervous, somebody saying something, somebody doing something, banging, different things. There was nothing in the world that could bring out any kpeda in him at all whatsoever, to the point where even if, Rav Nosson Zal writes, to the degree that if somebody were to do every terrible thing in the world to Rabbi Nachman, to Rabbeinu Zal, he would not feel any hate, any anger, any upsetness towards the person, but rather the opposite. He would have the ability to love the person and not have any iota of negative feeling in his heart towards that person. Only good. And Rav Nosson Zal writes, the level of goodness that Rabbeinu Zal achieved is something that all those that knew him got to see and experience. How much he cared about each and every person, how much he cared about Klal Yisrael, you know, a level of goodness that goes way beyond anything that we could imagine. And the perfection of this, he achieved in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosson Zal says, we know that in Rabbeinu Zal's teachings in Likutei Moran, there's a chapter in Likutei Moran where Rabbeinu Zal elaborates on this. He speaks about Erech HaPayin, which means the ability to control one's anger, one's nervousness, to be able to control it and overcome it completely. Erech HaPayim is the opposite of Kas, and Rav Nosson Zal writes there that this was what really drove Moshe Rabbeinu. This is what made Moshe Rabbeinu want to get to Eretz Yisrael, because he knew that to succeed in this completely, the place is Eretz Yisrael. Rabbeinu Zal there quotes the pasuk, Vayemaher Moshe Vayikoid Arzo, that Moshe Rabbeinu bowed. It says he bowed down, and our rabbis tell us, what did he see in Eretz Yisrael? What attribute was there that made him desire so much to go there? Erech HaPayim Ro. He saw this quality of Arichas HaPayim is something that Eretz Yisrael gives the person the ability to achieve, to have incredible patience, tolerance. Those that are privileged to be living in Eretz Yisrael know that there's a very famous expression in Eretz Yisrael that goes like this. It's no words. It's when you're about to want to tear a person into a billion pieces for making you wait on the phone for 30 minutes for some companies to answer a phone call, other things like that. And then when you get on, you're ready to explode. The person picks up the phone and says, hold on just a minute, and adds another 10 minutes to that. Or different circumstances where people look at you, Savlanut. What's your rush? What's the hurry? What's the rush? Savlanut, savlanut. Rabbeinu Tzion Likutei Moran reveals to us that this is one of the greatest achievements, accomplishments that a Jew could accomplish in life. To be zochet to conquer this mid of kas. Kas means anger. Kas means impatience, not having the ability to wait when there are certain things that must take a certain length of time. A woman wants to give birth 9 months. Is it 7 months or 9 months? Princess says, Hashem, could you possibly do it in 4 or 6? And Hashem says, no, sorry, this is the deal. It's got to take that long. Certain other things, a fruit to ripen, a person to achieve certain success in Yiddishkeit, or sometimes even certain success in Parnassa. Person has to have the ability to wait. And if the person can't wait, Chas V'Shalom, very often that could prevent him, especially if the person loses it along the way. A person gets angry or upset, that could bring about setbacks, Chas V'Shalom, lo aleinu, in Parnassa and other important things in life. Rav Nosson Zal continues within this paragraph 22, and he says, regarding the quality of anova, humility, Rabbeinu Zal prided himself tremendously that he succeeded in achieving complete success in this area of humility. And he said, Rabbeinu Zal said, that true humility, true humbleness is when a person gets to a level where they can say that they're humble, they can say that they have 100% humility, and it's true, and it's perfectly true. They're saying it doesn't change anything one iota. It doesn't detract one iota of their perfection in not feeling arrogant whatsoever about anything, including this. Just like by Moshe Rabbeinu. We find that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote in the Torah the words, V'ho'ish Moshe Onav Moed Mikol Adam, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the most humble, modest person in the world. And the fact that those words appear in the Torah, we know that the Torah is book of truth. So after writing that, he still remained the most humble. It didn't move one hair on his head. It didn't change anything whatsoever. He had the ability to say it with a straight face. And again, we could put a blood pressure thing on. We could check his pressure, and we could see he didn't go down 1/1 billionth of a percent in humility after saying it. He was saying it only for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, for Klal Yisrael to know. To him, it didn't affect him one iota whatsoever. And as we find, taking it a step further, the Gemara says that at the end of Soita, the Gemara says that there were different rabbis. That there was a rabbi that stood up and said, from the time that this rabbi passed away, we no longer have this important quality. He was like the last of the Mohicans. He was the most outstanding in this thing. He's gone. He took it to the grave with him. Nobody else today has that quality anymore. And the Gemara lists a few different characteristics. One of them, the Gemara says, that one of the rabbis said that when a particular rabbi passed away, from that point on, there's no more humility in the world. He was the last one to be really humble. So the Gemara says, Rav Yosef, the famous Rav Yosef, who was the rabbi of Abaye and Rava, one of the giants, super giants of the Talmud, Rav Yosef said, Al tisni anova, take humility off the list. De'ika anova, because I'm still alive. So there still is humility in the world. Now again, most people reading that without the proper introduction, without knowing who we're talking about, and only the book would say, that's the most ridiculous, absurd thing in the world. Could you imagine a person getting up and say, don't say there's no more humble people because I'm here, I'm humble. But again, the fact that this appears in the Gemara is the book of truth. The Torah is the ultimate in truth. The fact that this appears there and there's no it's not contested in any way, means that statement was 100% accurate. Before he made it, while he was saying it, and after he said it. And Rabbeinu Zal was in this league. Rabbeinu Zal was in this aspect, that he had the ability to pride himself, to praise himself, how he succeeded to achieving such a level of perfection in humility to the ultimate level of negating himself 100% totally. We know the Gemara gives the example of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai Zal, who said that I and my son, the two of us, have the ability to erase all sins of all of Klal Yisrael from now till the end of time. And then he said, if you add one more person to the equation, if you add Yoisam ben Uziyahu, then we can cover not from now, but going back to Bereishis, from creation till the end of time. The three of us, our merit, our zechus, is strong enough to counter all the evil that all the Jews have done for thousands of years. And again, he was able to say that, and it was 100% perfectly true. It didn't detract in any way. The Gemara doesn't, nobody questions, but isn't that a little bit arrogant? Not at all, zero arrogance. It was simply perfect truth. I remember Rav Rosenfeld, on the lighter side a little bit, Rav Rosenfeld used to say that there are people sometimes you get a person who says, I don't know anything. I don't know anything at all. And Rav Rosenfeld said, and it's not humility, he's simply telling the truth. He really doesn't know anything. The guy's an idiot, a total idiot. So that's not called humility, that's just being honest. Humility means somebody who knows everything, somebody who has all the qualities and everything, and is able to say, I am nothing, and really mean it. That the person feels, they don't attribute, what do you mean you're nothing? The answer is, I know that it's not a credit to me, it's nothing of my own. These are all gifts given to me by the grace of Hashem. Whatever I have, any good that I have, I don't take personal credit for it. I attribute it totally to Hashem, to my rabbis, to my parents, to my friends. I avoid taking any personal credit. This concept is a game that they used to play called hot potato. That when a person, they take something that's hot, very hot, and it's something that you can hold in your hands for a second or two, not more than that. And the trick is when somebody tosses it to you, that the second you get it, to be able to pass it on to somebody else immediately. The faster you can do that. This is the concept of what a Jew is supposed to try to do when it comes to kavod, when a person finds themselves being praised. Oh, you do that so well. You did such a great job. Kavod is dangerous. It's something in most cases that can be very harmful to a person. The person says, I didn't do anything. Hashem made it. This other people, I was part of a group, part of a team that made it happen. To avoid as much as possible being in the spotlight, being in the limelight, taking personal credit for things when it can be avoided in any way. Paragraph 23, Chav Gimel. Rabbeinu Zal said that he achieved perfection of anava, humility, in every single part of his body, in every organ of his body. Because he said there are people who have humility in his brain, he's humble, but in his heart, I know who I am, and nobody knows how great and how special I am. There are people who have humility, but again, it doesn't, in certain parts of their body, certain other parts of their body, they feel so proud, like he's the best soccer, he can kick a ball further than anybody else, or he can see things other people, each one in different parts. Rabbeinu Zal said that real humility is when a person achieves humility in every single part of the body, that I don't have any gaiva, any arrogance, and not literally any organ of my body.